Hi everyone, welcome to Better Together, an As We podcast. For future reference, As We, as in A-S-W-E, stands for the Alzheimer's Society of Windsor and Essex County. This podcast will feature engaging conversations with guests ranging from community leaders to care partners and persons living with dementia to raise awareness about this disease. You're listening to Better Together, an As We podcast, and this is episode 29. My name is Cindy, and I'm joined today by Renee Murdoch. Renee is my wonderful colleague here at the Alzheimer's Society. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I know you're really busy, so I really, really appreciate having you here. I want to start off by letting everybody know what you do at the Alzheimer's Society and who Renee Murdoch is. You've been on this podcast before, but this is for our new listeners.
Yeah, so I am the in-home respite supervisor here, the Alzheimer's Society. Just entering year three, so I've been here about 3 years now. Well, actually, at the end of this, end of May, so I'll be at the end of May, just about three years. So for those who didn't watch the first time I was on here, I'm a mom of two little girls. I am a wife, I'm a sister, friend. I also have a grandpa who is a person living with dementia. Oh, he has Parkinson's dementia, so I'm also a care partner as well as part of this role. Little bit about my educational background. I went to the University of Windsor, and I have a degree in family and social relations, which is part of the sociology department.
Yep.
So a little bit of sociology, social work, psych. It's kind of an all-encompassing program, which is really nice. And then from there, I actually went to college. So I went to university in college. I did it a little reversed. And I went to George Brown College for 2 years. So I lived in Toronto for a while. And I got a diploma in, it's called Activation Coordination in Gerontology, which is, I always like to describe it as a really fancy way to describe, I am overly qualified to program for seniors.
Woo! Can you say that one more time for everybody again?
Activation Coordination Gerontology.
And what made you get into the social services program or field?
Well, to be honest, when I was in grade 12, my initial goal was I wanted to become like a youth minister at a church. So I started to look into that, but on the deadline to apply for courses, I discovered, oh, you need to already have a degree to apply for that course. So my mom and I scrambled last minute. We looked through a whole bunch of courses. I'm like, family and social relations seems good. So I took that instead. Mm-hmm. And then throughout my studies, within my first, about a year and a half into my studies, I discovered through exploring education that I wanted to work with seniors more.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, what can I do to work with seniors? So I just started Googling programs.
Wow.
And when I went to school, they didn't have social service gerontology at St. Clair College.
Yep.
The closest program that they had was the Activation Coordination Gerontology at George Brown College in Toronto. That was the closest program. So I'm like, well, I'm a year and a half into my university degree. I might as well finish it out and then go to college.
Mm-hmm. So you picked up everything, moved there. Yep. How many years was the program?
It was two.
2 years? Did it fly by quick?
Yeah, it did, because I was in my early 20s.
Okay.
So, you know, I just had a nice little studio apartment, one little room. Mm-hmm. I was in the heart of Toronto, right downtown. I was about a 20-minute walk from the Eden Center. So, like, right downtown Toronto.
What was your favorite part about living there?
All the different things that you could do. There was so much to do in Toronto. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. So like you don't need money to do things there.
Yeah.
Every single day it's something different. There's always a different event being offered. It was great.
The program at in Toronto, mm-hmm. George Brown University, yeah. College.
Yeah.
Do you think that it is the same as the social service gerontology program in at St. Clair? Or
no,
completely different?
Similar. They have similar courses.
Mm-hmm.
But when I compared the coursework, because I was on the Social Service Gerontology Public Advisory Committee for a while,
mm-hmm.
From representing the Alzheimer's Society, or I'm on that one now. When I've reviewed the work and the courses, they're a little different. They have a little bit more of that social work and social service field aspect to it, whereas the course I took was strictly programming. So we took a whole course on all the different types of therapy, so like horticulture therapy, doll therapy, all the different ones that you could implement for seniors that could be beneficial, music therapy. So it wasn't a deep dive into each one because it's only a semester that you take it, but it's an overview of them all so that way you can see what you could bring into different places and organizations that you work at.
Mm-hmm. And once you were finished school, you didn't think to stay in Toronto, or you wanted to? You knew you were coming back.
I knew I was coming home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew I was coming home. Yeah.
And then after that, you got right into...
I actually, straight out of school, I got hired on at a retirement home here in Windsor as the recreation manager.
Oh, wow. So you just went right into school to work.
Yeah, yeah. I was only on maternity leave,
okay.
So I did that. When I was in school, my goal was long-term care. Mm-hmm. That's where my heart was when I was in school. But retirement home gave me, they're like, hey, took the opportunity. I loved it. But my goal was still that long-term care at that point. So I saw an opportunity, and that's when I moved into long-term care. Mm-hmm. And I was in long-term care for about eight to 10 years, somewhere in that I was in recreation and long-term care.
And then what made you come to the Alzheimer's Society?
It was actually during COVID. I was on a leave because mm-hmm. I was on maternity leave because I was pregnant at the time. So I was kind of like, you know what? I need to change. You know, I went back after COVID for a little bit to long-term care, and it just, the feel was different. So I was like, oh, okay, I need to do something for myself. So I just started looking at what potentially I could do,
mm-hmm.
and the in-home respite position came up. So I took it, and I was like, hey, worth a shot.
Yeah.
And they liked me, so I got it.
I forgot. So you started before COVID hit, or you started during COVID?
It was 2021 that I was hired here. So COVID was still happening. We were still... not new, we weren't at the beginning of it, but all those COVID procedures were already in place when I stepped into the role.
You came into the Alzheimer's Society, and then you went into the committees as well, right? When
yes.
you started?
Yes.
What committees did you join again?
So I am currently on Joint Health and Safety, mm-hmm. and I'm also one of the IPAC leads.
So when you went back to long-term care during COVID, what was the main challenge for you to like do programming and facilitating for the seniors there?
Well, because the home I was at had 140-something beds.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 3 program staff, and you have to get to everybody. So pre-COVID, you would bring 50, 60 people to a group, to a music group or a sing-along or whatever the group was going on. You could have a large group.
Mm-hmm.
Now your groups had to have like 5 people. And you only have so much time in a day. So how do you hit 146 people in like 6 hours?
Yeah.
Around their meal times, the times that they're getting help with all their activities of daily living, and still make something meaningful
mm-hmm.
and enjoyable for them.
Yeah, so. Sounds very challenging.
It was a challenging time.
Mm-hmm. And COVID lasted, what, like 3 years? I still feel like sometimes it's still going on.
It is. I mean, COVID is still a reality. It's still present. It's still real. But now we've learned how to live with it
mm-hmm.
and how to cope and how to have that journey with it.
Right. In your role here at the Alzheimer's Society, you're the in-home respite supervisor.
Correct.
What do you do in this role?
So my main, I guess, part of my job is I oversee the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I help get the clients into the program, so create different care summaries based on the information given to me from other colleagues here. And then sending out the staff and observing the visits. So I go and join the staff on the visits so mm-hmm. that I can meet the clients, offer suggestions of different things they can do during the visit or how to make the visit a little bit more successful if they're having challenges. And I also help with the care partners as well. If they're struggling with different things, they might ask me how can we make this better? So I might help them navigate some of those challenges as well.
Mm-hmm. For anybody that's at home, can you explain to them what the in-home respite program is?
So in-home respite, a client support staff member goes to the home for 3.5 hours on average. It's either 3 hours or 3.5. So that way the care partner can make doctor's appointments or go to the dentist, go do groceries, or even just go upstairs and take a nap. And mm-hmm. somebody is with that person living with dementia for that time. During that time, they provide engagement, socialization. They might do some exercise with the client if the client needs exercise. They can take them outside to sit outside in their courtyard or their backyard, get some fresh air. And they bring activities to them based on their likes, interests, needs, and then modify those activities based on their capabilities
mm-hmm.
and where they're currently at. They also can help with some meal prep. So if they're there over lunchtime, they can make the person lunch or breakfast or dinner if they're there during that dinner time. They can help with all those activities of daily living too. Showers, shaving, hair. But because it's 3.5 hours, we can take our time doing that. We don't have to rush through those activities. The person can take their time washing their hair. And then after they get out, dry it. Curl it. If it's a woman who loves to go get her hair done, they can curl the hair, they can paint their nails, they can just make them feel special.
At the Alzheimer's Society, we have another program, which is the day program.
Correct.
What would you say is the main difference between the two?
Day program is a group. In-home respite is one-on-one in the home.
Mm-hmm.
But they both have the same goal and the same concept of providing that meaningful engagement. So providing that stimulation, that engagement, that socialization, and providing that person-centered care. It's just the setting that's really different.
If anybody has any questions about in-home respite or the adult day program, you can reach Renee or who's in it?
Melanie.
Yeah. And Melanie is at the Daybreak at the Lodge, another location that we have for our day programs.
Our First Link coordinator also has all that information as well.
Oh, yes.
So they can call directly to the first point of contact, Lee's, and she can help navigate different things as well and get them set up that way too.
And now the in-home respite, is it a minimum or maximum 3.5 hours? I forgot that part.
So you have to, it's one visit a week at this time at 3.5 hours with the potential for more visits as needed.
Perfect. And our client support staff travel to the client?
Yes.
Inside their home. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. So Renee, we had the opportunity for this month of May so far to participate in wellness activities that our supervisor planned for us. So I wanted you to come on here to talk more about what you do also besides the working at the Alzheimer's Society. And it's laughter yoga.
Yes, I am a certified laughter yoga instructor.
I know, we're laughing right now, but when I first heard about this, I heard about it at our meeting, and I was like, wait, what? Did they just say laughter yoga? I never heard of this before. So yeah, I want you to explain what it is, how did you even get involved with it? And we're laughing, but I guess that's the main purpose for it.
So I'll start with a little bit of a background of laughter yoga and how it got developed to begin with.
Okay.
So it was originally developed in 1995. By this doctor in India.
Okay.
So he's been researching for years about laughing and all the benefits of laughter. He had lots of different influencers, one of them being like Patch Adams, you know?
Yes.
Real Patch Adams. He was like, there's actual benefits to laughing. How can we bring this into the world and help people get healthier through laughing? So him and his wife decided to meet at this park and they would just start telling jokes. And they started out with like 5 people. And then they went back the next day, and the group just kept growing and growing and growing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after a while, jokes get stagnant.
Yep.
Jokes get really not funny anymore.
Yep.
They tend to start getting a little dirty, you know?
Yeah.
Like, trying to make things funny, but they just weren't funny.
Mm-hmm.
So on the last day that they joined, he's like, okay, guys, give me a week and come back in a week. I'm going to have something else for you because this just isn't working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was saying after they left how wonderful they were feeling through this laughing. So he went home with his wife, and his wife's a yoga instructor who really focuses on like the deep breathing and taking the deep breaths. That's more of her focus. So they were thinking, how can we incorporate these two together? And they developed laughter yoga.
Mm.
And his concept is really bringing that childlike experience back. So being... having that childlike mindness, that silliness, that fun in back into the world.
Yep.
So that's how I got started. Okay. And then he started going to conferences and doing studies and research, and he just kind of spread the laughter yoga throughout the world.
So you just came, like you just saw him, like learned about it randomly?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's how he started
spreading. Oh, yes. Okay. Got you.
How I got involved was actually the woman you had last month, or Lisa Doy,
yep,
on your podcast. She was actually one of my past supervisors.
Wow.
Lisa and I are great friends.
What a small world.
Lisa and I are great friends. And she, when I was working for her at the long-term care home, they had this opportunity to send people for this. And she approached me and said, I want you to do this. Mm-hmm. I never turned down an opportunity to learn something. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, let's go. So they sent us to, I don't remember the location. I want to say it was Brantford or Brampton or something like that. It was Ontario. Yep. But they sent us away to go do this training, this laughter yoga training. It was either, I think it was 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. And it was just 2 or 3 days of laughing nonstop. But the main purpose was for us to go learn this training and bring it back to the long-term care home that I was at and incorporate it into our programming. Mm-hmm. So I was looking back of how long I've been trained, and I actually received this training back in 2014.
And I was just hearing about it now.
Yes. Well, because I've been out of long-term care now for about like 3.5 years. So I haven't led it for 3.5 years because I only used to lead it at the long-term care home that I was at. So I didn't do it outside of my current place of employment.
Yeah.
And I led it about once every 2 weeks, and I just had a small group of ladies, and we would do it in the evening because a lot of people were self-conscious about it because you get very loud.
Okay.
So we would just close the door when hardly anyone was there, no visitors, no less staff in the building. And we would just laugh for over about half an hour. It's exhausting. Laughter yoga, people, you don't realize how tiring it is until you do it. Mm-hmm. Because you're using your whole upper body to laugh. Whenever something's really funny and like you have that deep belly laugh, it hurts.
Yes.
Like afterwards you're like, oh my God, I laughed so much yesterday. My stomach hurts so much. That's what this does. So that's one of the benefits of it, is that deep diaphragm laughing, it actually works your abdominal muscles as well. So it's a physical exercise as well as like a lung exercise.
So when you're doing, I'm just trying to picture it. When you're doing this with your group, are they actually on yoga mats?
No. So I lead it primarily with seniors. Mm-hmm. So we're always in the chair.
Okay.
So it can be led in groups with adults, children, any age group, any group of people. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's no really limit on the amount of people either that you can lead it with, as everyone can, as long as they can see you and they can follow along.
Okay.
But I primarily lead it with seniors. That's my experience, is leading it with seniors. So mm-hmm. we're always in a chair.
Yeah.
And I always do the laughter exercises, I guess we can call them, while they're sitting. So mm-hmm. only the ones that are sitting. There are ones that can be done where you're up and you're jumping and you're bouncing and you're running towards each other and running away, and then you run towards and you run away. And it's all just about being silly. Mm-hmm. So instead, I choose the ones that people can do while they remain sitting,
mm-hmm.
or I modify the movement ones so that they can be done in a chair.
Mm-hmm. Can you do... Can you do an example of what you would do in the beginning of a session?
So we always start, just like any form of exercise, you start with breathing.
Okay.
So, you know, you start by taking like a deep breath in and out, and you do that a few times. And then I start with incorporating, you know, let's start moving. So you're going to raise your arms while you breathe in,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to raise your arm down, and then you're going to go up and down. Now this time when we start laughing, or raise our arms, we're going to laugh with it. So you're going to raise your arms up. And then when you bring them down, you're just going to give a ha. Ha.
Ha.
And then you go up. Ha.
Ha.
And that's one of the benefits, is laughter is contagious. And being silly is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
So often in our life, we're so serious.
Yes.
We're so task oriented. We got to get here, there. There's all these worries in our life that we barely take the time to just sit back and breathe.
Yeah.
And laugh. You know, like people always say, take time to stop and smell the roses. It is so beneficial to actually do that.
Just, yeah. That just made me happy doing
that.
Yeah. I love that. Wow, this is amazing. I've never heard of this before, so I'm really happy that you're explaining it to us. I just have so many questions of like, not questions, but I'm just trying to picture what it looks like. You know what I mean? Like, I think I would probably be laughing the entire time.
You would. A lot of people are apprehensive at first mm-hmm. because people don't like looking silly.
Yeah.
People don't like looking out of control, you know, because when you feel out of control, something could go wrong. There's mm-hmm. all these worries that come up with letting loose.
Yeah.
But it's all like, it's just half hour, 20 minutes is the max that I do with seniors. Because like I said, it is very exhausting,
because mm-hmm.
We're not just sitting stagnant, you know, we're moving, you raise your arms, you're one point, I do like a, you're all rowing. You know, how like a drum keeps the beat. Instead of the drum, though, it's our laughs. So it's ha, huh, ha, huh, ha. And then speed up the ha's, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we all fell over, but we're ha, ha, ha,
Wow.
And you just make it fun from there.
This is awesome. I literally could see how it works and why it works. You know,
so it's exercise without sitting in front of people going, hey, we're going to lead an exercise program. Because you hear the word exercise and people go, oh, I don't like doing exercise. Everyone likes to laugh, though. Okay, we're going to laugh for half an hour.
I'm just picturing like some of the seniors or residents that haven't laughed or smiled in a very long time. And then watching them do this, you know, exercise. Amazing.
I actually led this program recently here at Daybreak at the lodge. I went there a few Fridays ago and led it with a group of ladies that we have. And some of them weren't. They were that out loud laughing. But while I was looking around the room, we had a few clients, but I was watching their faces. Mm-hmm. Yes, they weren't out loud going, ha, 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 ha. But you saw the smile curl up or like their mouth doing it low. Mm-hmm. Or you could see their mind working that they were still laughing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to scream the loud laughter to still get the benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. And I think them too being around that energy is what makes them.
Positivity.
Yeah.
It's just that positivity. And some of them were just like, oh my gosh, this is so ridiculous. Like, you guys look hilarious. And they weren't physically partaking, but they were laughing with us.
Yeah.
And I always preface it by saying, even if you don't want to do it, feel free to laugh at me. Mm-hmm. This is the one time that you can actually laugh at somebody, because that is the whole purpose of this, is laughing. Mm-hmm. So if you think I look ridiculous and you want to laugh at me, I welcome it.
Yeah.
It's not rude today to laugh at me, because I'm doing this on purpose to make you laugh. Mm-hmm. So please laugh at me. So I try to encourage them any realm of laughing.
Yeah.
An interesting fact is your body doesn't know the difference between a fake laugh and a real laugh.
Really? But we can hear it.
We can. So there's a difference between ha, 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 or a genuine
oh, yeah.
Your body doesn't know the difference, though. When you laugh, it releases endorphins. Mm. So that endorphins, you know, that happy feel, goodness in your body. So your body can't tell the difference, though. If I'm just looking in a mirror, the gentleman who started this did this, researched this study that someone who had cancer looked in a mirror for 15 minutes a day, whether he was feeling happy or not, and just laughed for 15 minutes. And he saw an improvement in his health.
Wow.
Because of just staring, ha, 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 15 minutes a day. He goes, just that increase of oxygen, because when you laugh, you're taking in more oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
When you take in more oxygen, it makes your lungs expand more. So then it releases more toxins that are in your body. It pushes out old air that's, you know, in there. So it just moves everything through your body a little bit more.
Wow. I'm thinking about it because when I laugh, I feel weak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you ever been doing something, a task, and someone makes you laugh and you just like,
yeah.
is that the same?
Well, because you let everything go.
Yes.
When you're laughing, you just let everything go. Mm-hmm. You relax, your shoulders relax, everything just kind of lets go. Your body loses control because you get lost in the laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we get lost in our tasks.
Yeah.
We get lost in the day. And just anybody, you know, like even when you're walking in the street, you might have your headphones in, you're listening, so you're lost in your podcast or you're lost in your music. And everyone's just so lost in that moment of what they're doing that taking these few moments to just laugh.
Yep. And what a good feeling to laugh with people around you, or with people around you. Like, That's a great time. And really, it takes a really special person to facilitate this program.
You.
Like, I'm thinking, I facilitate exercise programs. Yes. I can do that, but I don't think I can facilitate laughter yoga, because
you have to be really comfortable with looking silly.
Yeah.
You have to be, and people looking at you like, what in the world are you doing, lady? Like,
are you laughing the entire time? Because I think I would be laughing the entire time.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am. As the instructor you're supposed to be.
Yeah, I love that. This is awesome. I'm hoping that we do get the chance to, you know, possibly do laughter yoga and you be the instructor, because I would really want to participate in that. But to our listeners, if you guys want to learn more about laughter yoga, Renee is here.
Yes, I am.
We did some therapeutic touch with our colleagues. We learned about mental health awareness and tips and tricks that we can do just to keep ourselves in check, to make sure that we're okay, because we serve a lot of the community. Yeah. What are some things that you would tell our listeners to do to practice self-care?
I think when you hear the word self-care, a lot of people think, oh, I need to make time for self-care, so I got to go do this and this. And it's this big thing, and it's another thing they have to schedule into their day.
Yeah.
But I think we need to take a step back. Self-care doesn't always have to be that hour-long massage or that day at the beach because I'm going to take it just for me. Or self-care can be as simple as when I'm driving home from work, I'm going to put on my favorite podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the end of the day, sitting down with a cup of coffee or a tea. Like, it doesn't have to be these grand things to be considered self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of yourself is taking those moments even. Because even as care providers and care partners, a lot of times we don't have those giant times to be able to go and do things. But you might be able to find 5 minutes.
Yep.
So in that 5 minutes, what can you do for yourself?
Breathing exercises.
Yeah. Like for myself, as a mother of young children, one of my things on the weekend as a self-care is before the kids wake up, I sit down, make myself a cup of coffee, and I sit on the couch and I actually drink it hot. You know, like, it's not big. I don't get to drink a cup of hot coffee during the week in the morning until I get to the office.
Yeah.
Because, you know, lunches need to be made and bags need to be packed and this. So on the weekend, it's 20 minutes, but I get to drink my coffee and I drink it hot. If they wake up and they come down, that's fine. You girls can come down, watch your TV, but mommy's not moving until her coffee's done. I'm drinking it hot.
While you're drinking your hot coffee, what are some of the feelings that you feel while doing that? Like, right? It feels good.
Especially if they're still sleeping.
Yeah.
Which isn't always often, because as soon as they hear movement, you know, they start creeping down the stairs. But so I don't turn on TV. I don't turn on anything in the house except make the coffee and drink the coffee to try to keep the house as quiet as possible. But just those moments, I think self-care, people always put this big label on it. And I think society in general has made it to be a really big thing. And it's hugely important. But it doesn't have to be a big thing for it to be considered self-care.
I think
big event that needs to be planned. And then now our list just got bigger because now I got to plan my self-care into my already busy week.
And you're putting more stress on yourself to plan those things. But you're exactly right.
And self-care is supposed to be about de-stressing. Taking those moments back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how do we slow down and take those moments back for ourselves? And tips and tricks, it's hard because everyone's life is so different. It's you need to look at your life and find where you can find those moments.
Yeah.
So like for me, like I said, that coffee in the morning is that moment that I can take. Or my drive home, I'll put on one of my, I listen to audiobooks.
Oh yeah.
So I'll put on an audiobook because I can't just, when I'm at home, listen to my audiobook for 6 hours, but I have 20 minutes on my drive home. Mm-hmm. So I can, 20 minutes a day, I get to actually listen to my book.
Yeah.
So it might take me a few weeks to finish a book, but I get there.
That's okay. We did a 3-minute, I think, a meditation with the mental health.
The therapeutic touch.
Was it with the therapeutic touch?
Oh, we did that with therapeutic touch and the other ladies as well.
So what we did was she put on timer. Put on meditation music and we all sat there for what, 2 or 3 minutes?
I think it was 2 minutes.
2 minutes, best 2 minutes of my life.
And she said, if you just take 2 minutes a day and do this, they were from the Canada Mental Health Association.
Yep.
She's like, just try it for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can find 2 minutes. Just find 2 minutes. You don't even have to pay meditation music, but try to empty your mind. Like, don't think about anything for 2 minutes. You'll think so much clearer afterwards.
Yep. So
little small things like that to incorporate into your life, your day. Now you have another thing. Look in the mirror for 5-10 minutes and just laugh at yourself. Because guess what? We all think our life's pretty funny. You're like, how am I doing this? Let me laugh about this. And you might feel better about it.
It is getting funny. Life is really funny right now. But since we did that exercise, I've been incorporating the 2 minutes every day since. I've been doing it with our Minds and Motions program, and they have been loving it.
Good.
Because sometimes it takes somebody to tell you to do it for you to even try.
Yeah.
And the first time I remember doing it with our group, they felt awkward.
Yeah.
They're like, we're all sitting silent and there's a big group, and they all open their eyes and they're like, wow, like I feel relieved. The energy in the room just like was just calm. Everyone was just so happy to to clear their mind and not think about what they have to do next, right? Or where they're going next. So I encourage everybody to try the 2-minute meditation, no matter what time throughout the day.
And she also mentioned that if you can't do the 2 minutes, start with 1 minute.
Yeah.
Start with 30 minutes. Or 30 seconds. Start with 30 seconds. And then the next time you do it, build it up to 45. But, you know, just add 15 seconds each time until you get to that 2 minutes.
Right.
Because sometimes our brains, it's too hard to just shut off for 2 minutes. It's like, okay, well then make something that's realistic for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do 30 seconds?
And anytime throughout the day too, because a lot of people wait till bedtime or like when they're winding down to do that stuff, but you need it sometimes throughout the day.
Yeah.
I know I do. So that was really, really good. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about is resources for clients and care partners, things that they can do at home that they don't have to necessarily plan for or go out and buy things for that can help them with their mental health and their wellness.
Hmm.
We have the laughing, looking in the mirror and laughing. We have the 2-minute meditation. What are some other things that they can do that they necessarily doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg, I would say?
And it depends on each person's capabilities and where they are, but just sitting outside in nature is huge. So sitting outside, if you have a bird feeder or just even throwing you don't need even a feeder. You could just throw the seed out on your lawn and the birds will come, and just sitting there quietly watching them, watching the squirrels play. I find that extremely relaxing, that just to sit and watch. Or if you're somewhere near a park, you can go and watch all the kids play and all that youth and energy and go, when did I have that? Find those type of things relaxing and things that make you smile. Just, that doesn't cost money to sit outside, to be in nature, especially now that weather is getting nicer.
Mm-hmm. Those are really good ones. I really like that one. What does Better Together mean to you?
So to me, I've always said anything in life, it takes a village to do. Whether you're caring for children or your care partner, caring for a person living with dementia, you can't do it alone. You can't do anything in life alone. Mm-hmm. So Better Together means just making your life better. Bring in the people. Find your people.
Mm-hmm.
And bring them in and involve them. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Because if people truly care about you and they tell you they care about you, they want to genuinely help you.
Yep. And they will show up for you.
They will.
Yep. I love that.
That's why they sit there and say, hey, if you need anything, let me know. They're waiting for you because they don't want to overstep and assume you can't do it on your own. They don't want to make you feel that you're failing or you're not able to do it. But maybe you inside you're struggling and you just, so reach out to them. Mm-hmm. Ask them for that help. It's okay to need help.
Yep.
And that's part of self-care too.
Right.
Admitting when you need help. Admitting that you need other people in your life. We're people. People need people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do anything alone.
Yep, I love that. Thank you so much, Renee, for taking the time out of your already busy schedule to do this podcast with me. I would love for us to finish this podcast with some rapid-fire questions. These 5 questions are all random, and it allows our audience to get to know a little bit more about you. There are no wrong answers. Are you ready?
Sure.
If you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with that extra time?
Because of nice weather, garden. I do love to garden.
You know, I'm meeting a lot of people that like to garden. So
I do. That is another thing that's very relaxing and therapeutic.
It is, eh?
I do. I find because I like finishing a task and I like looking at something and it's completed and it's done. So it's you pull in the weeds and then, that whole section is clean now. It's done.
And you're working with your hands. It's working everything. Okay, that's a really great one.
Also going back to horticulture therapy and the benefits of plants and growth and watching something that you plant grow and the benefits of nurturing something.
This is awesome. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I'm gonna go with pizza.
What are your toppings?
I love ham, mushrooms, tomatoes.
Ooh, I don't think I've ever had that combination. For some reason I thought you were gonna say pineapples because of the ham.
No,
so no. Do you think pineapples belong on pizza, yes or no?
Not for me.
But you've seen people eat it?
Yes.
What would your perfect Sunday look like?
Just relaxing. Just taking it easy.
A day to yourself or with your kids around relaxing?
If my kids are relaxing, then them around, yes.
So it depends. What could you give a 40-minute presentation on with absolutely no preparation?
Lots. What do I want to pick? something that's not related to anything that I work with, Winnie the Pooh.
Really?
Yes, I am a very big Winnie the Pooh fan.
Wow.
And I know a lot about him.
I'm learning so much about you today. This is awesome. Wow, that's really cool. Okay. What's the best piece of advice someone has ever given you?
That's a hard one. Don't stop smiling. Like a smile is contagious, mm-hmm. you know, because it is. When you're having a bad day, if you put a smile on your face, kind of like laughing, it's contagious. You know, it's like if you force yourself to smile, it's easier to keep smiling.
Mm-hmm. You're the first person who ever said that on the podcast.
Yeah.
So this is awesome. Thank you so much, Renee. It was a pleasure speaking with you today. I hope our listeners have learned some new things and interesting information about laughter yoga and your role here at the Alzheimer's Society. We really appreciate all that you do here and really, really happy to have you on the team with us.
Well, thank you.
Hey, listeners, my call to action for all of you. How can you help? Educate yourself and encourage others to do the same. Refer your circle of friends and family to our services. Support our events and fundraising campaigns and become a dementia-friendly community. Listen to new episodes on the last Friday of every month on our YouTube channel, Alzheimer Windsor. Our podcasts are also available on Spotify and Amazon Music. Help for today, hope for tomorrow, and remember, we are better together. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.